College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Mets go to Baltimore. You and I sat here yesterday,
yeah,
and all we said was, get a split, and Al, you can take every doubleheader as a split and stick it where the sun don't shine.
Very rare this happens. We know that.
You like the idea, Jerry. You like the idea of a doubleheader because you felt like they were guaranteed a victory.
That's actually not what I say. I said, even though it's about 50-50, I like the idea that the Mets have David Peterson starting in the one game. We had no idea what they were going to do in the second, but I sat here and said, just get a game and go to Kansas City having won two out of three series wins. And we'll get to David Peterson in a second, but this Fantastic Four, I mean, you can't. So let's start very early in the first game. You can't have the first two guys on with Juan Soto and Pete Alonso coming up and just come up with nothing, especially after the way, and I know it was they got rained out the night before, but especially after the way they came up with clutch hits two nights ago, you felt good about things. Vientos with the double in the fifth or the sixth inning, whatever that was. They don't score. They got guys on base. It's just, this is the thing, as fun as the game was on Monday or Tuesday, whatever it was, Tuesday, this is kind of what you were talking about with the Yankees.
Yeah.
You know, early on, the two walks, they don't score. Well, they came back and won. The Mets blow the 1-0. Awful. Just awful.
No, and Charlie Morton's been terrible this year. He's been better as of late, but they know him extremely well. The Mets from his Braves days, they have a ton of at-bats against him. They know Charlie Morton well. You get first and second, then you get the pass ball off of just the normal pitch. You get the benefit of having second and third, nobody out. And you're looking to, like you said, you don't know who's pitching game two. That's the game. You got Peterson on the mound. You jump out to a lead there.
Against a wounded
Orioles team off of the rain, obviously, but the day before, coming from behind and beating them in the eighth inning. Like, that's where you pound on them. You get a couple of runs early in that first inning. That game feels completely different. Instead, you get the swing and miss from Soto, the swing and miss from Alonso, and then Winker gives you the fly ball the last time you see him in the game because his back stiffens up. I mean, that first inning, to me, is where you lose the game.
That's where you lose the game. I agree with you. Now, you want to say the sixth inning? Too, because if you could have tacked on a run or two, all right, maybe they had a chance to kind of come away with a bigger lead.
Yeah.
So, all right, that's the deal. I get it. Now let's move ahead to the seventh and eighth inning. It's still 1-0. You don't feel great about a 1-0 lead, but you do have a guy on the mound too. You know, a couple of weeks ago gave you 9 innings.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy on the mound too, aside from a start or two, has been rock solid. I know I'm old school. I know I'm old. I get it. I'm disgusted with pitch counts because, by a little secret, they don't work.
Yeah.
Guys are still getting Tommy John surgery. It doesn't work. The guy's at 90 effing pitches.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing him out in the eighth inning. Really do appreciate it. Why in God's hell? What are you taking him out of the game for?
I was puzzled when they talked about, and Peterson talked about in the post game, that, you know, since the seventh inning, he told me, even going out to the seventh, he was batter to batter. Why with a bullpen in the manner in which they have pitched over the last, for Stanek?
He had such an easy seventh inning.
Skip told me he was going to be very aggressive in this game. Aggressive for what reason? You got a bullpen game coming up next. You don't know who you're going to have to throw. You got Peterson. He enters the seventh inning, batter to batter, and then you send him back after the eighth, which I agree, I applaud. But you give up one hit, and he's out of the game to go to Stanek and his 6 ERA over the last month. Like, that one puzzled me, too, I have to admit. Because, not only that, like, if it's a manager who consistently does this, I go, okay, this is how he manages the game, this is how they've got, like, he pushes Peterson a lot.
I know.
He's consistently letting Peterson go out there and throw these games.
And you got the All-Star break coming up.
And you got the All-Star break coming up. He's going to have a week off. You're going to have, you got a game later in the day where you might need everybody. Like, I was very surprised. I mean, I don't know if I hate it necessarily. It is the way managers are built today. I understand it to some level. You don't want to see him blow the game there. You feel like you've got arrested Stanek to come in. But at the same time, because of the elements of the situation, the game later, This is the one guy they push. The one guy they push. It was and the idea that it was from the seventh inning on treating it batter to batter made very little sense to me.
The one thing, the only thing to me that makes it different is if it's the ninth inning,
right?
And you want to see him get the complete game. He gives off the leadoff hit. Bring Diaz in.
Right.
I'm fine with that. I get that. As much as I probably would still like to see him, it's his game.
Mm-hmm.
Because the one thing I always talk about, these starters are great, but once you walk off, the game's out of your hands.
Right.
And we saw it times 10 last night. And then I don't know if you even looked at it, but because I was talking about the Yankee game, I couldn't watch it because of the pitching early on.
Mm-hmm.
I was sticking with it through inning after inning. Did you take a look? Do you have any idea what Ryan Stanek's numbers were in terms of pitches and strikes thrown?
No.
He threw 31 or 32 pitches. He threw 11 strikes.
Oof.
I mean, you got to be kidding me. I don't know. They've won games with, I'm sitting here praising Brazoban the other night. So it's not like it hasn't worked, but this isn't your fifth starter. This isn't your fourth starter. Like, this is your horse right now.
He's your guy.
And a guy who has proved he can do it and has done it this year in a game that, is it a crucial game? No, I'm not saying it's a crucial game.
Right.
But if you win that game, the feeling within the team is just so much better than it, and with their fans, so much better than it is now. And I'm just so tired of 2025 baseball. I really am.
No, I get it.
There's got to be, the pitch count is such a big deal. How about we just watch the way the guy is throwing? See if he's laboring. At no point did I think he was struggling yesterday.
No.
None.
No.
And it wasn't like it was, you want to say you pushed him to 110, 112. All right, I don't love the pitch count, but I get it. Fine. 90?
No.
Come on.
And you bring him in, and you bring in a right-hander so they feel comfortable going
to
Gunnar Henderson.
And you know you're going to Henderson.
Do you like that matchup better?
God.
You like Peterson versus Vasquez or Stanek versus Gunnar Henderson?
No, Peterson versus Vasquez.
Yeah, it was
Peterson versus Gunnar Henderson.
Absolutely.
And I'm not one of these, in this day and age, I think guys are so good. I don't even get caught up in the lefty-righty thing as much as I used to when I was a kid. But I'll take that 100 times out of 100.
No.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So just and then to come back and Keith was on this the entire, I felt like the entire second game, Mets are flat.
Yeah.
And I know they took the 2-0 lead, could have been more, but they got a couple of runs. All right, so he felt a little bit better. But it felt like from maybe the third inning on, after Baltimore came back, he must have said it five times. This is a carryover from the first game. This team is playing flat. Now, it's one thing for me and you to say that.
Yeah.
I think it's easy when a team's not scoring to say they're flat.
It is.
If all of a sudden they're scoring, all of a sudden now they're not flat. But when a former player is there and watching it and telling us that, that means something to me.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it looked like that. It looked flat. And to me, it starts with the first inning of game one. I know it's the second game. But that's the game, and the manager treated it as such, too. Mm-hmm. And we disagree with how he handled it, but clearly, Mendoza felt game one was very important, and he was going to be aggressive with his bullpen because of it. And to have that first inning dud and then have the blown game leading into the second game and knowing, and I also think there's an element to this, too, this was the bullpen game, it's the last one. They've got their guys coming back.
For sure.
They know it's the last time they're going to have this type of game. They're heading into the All-Star break. They're going to Kansas City. They're getting their stars back. And it just felt very lackluster. I totally agree. There was just not the impetus to go out there and win the second game.
The thing about Senga, though, I agree. You shouldn't think that you're going to need your bullpen arms too much this weekend.
Right.
Senga coming off injury, though. Would you be shocked if he's out of the game after three innings tonight?
No.
I wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Mid-season, I would be.
Yeah.
Coming off we see this guy, as good as a pitcher he is, everything's got to be perfect for him. And if there's something he doesn't feel exactly right, or maybe he's struggling to find the plate, pitch count is a little bit high, you know how they deal with this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they're in their bullpen in the fifth inning.
No.
I mean, no. He's been mid-season. They've gone to the bullpen in the fifth and sixth inning with him.
Yeah, absolutely. In today's day and age, you never know. A couple of that pitch count gets high, especially first game back. I'm sure he is on some sort of pitch count, Jeff. I'm sure
he's going to be.
I'm sure it's like 85 or right. Like I don't think he's going to get to 100 pitches. So at any moment, yeah, it could be an early game. And this goes to me the other thing too about this whole entire thing, like. Why are they so afraid to bring up a kid from the minors to make a spot?
I don't know.
Like, why would you rather see this? You know it's over, right? Like, and if this game is important, if you're going to treat the first game like it really means a lot, if you're going to treat these games like they're important, throw a young kid out there, give him a spot start. What's the worst thing that could happen? How are you going to ruin McLean? The kid's having a great year by, you know, giving him a spot start here or there and knowing that you got your guys coming back anyway. If he pitches poorly, you send him back. It gives you a better opportunity than throwing, you know, Waddell out there.
I agree. I don't know. I don't understand the decisions a lot of these teams make with the way they shuttle guys up and down. That, to me, was a spot where you could have done that. And now they had an opportunity to take back first place from the Phillies and said you gave back a full game by losing both. And it's just a terror. You know, they had a nice time in Baltimore. They felt, even though they lost Sunday, they felt pretty good after taking two or three from the Mets. Monday off in Baltimore. You win Tuesday. Great, exciting win. Yep. Rained out Wednesday. Still feeling pretty good. Yesterday stunk. And now they got to sit on that going to Kansas City.
Yeah, no. But listen, ultimately, though, wherever they're a game and a half back. They've been able to tread water through these injuries in the pitching staff. It was an ugly day. Hopefully, you move on and bone up in Kansas City. And you get your pitchers back and you go about it. But yeah, to me, again, and I thought the first thing you said too, the Fab Four, as ironically right after the Paul McCartney talk from the owner, those guys got to come through in that spot to win them that first game. And then you feel a hell of a lot better about this thing, even with the second game. So a lot of things gone wrong, a lot of issues. I still feel like they stemmed the tide with winning those two series against the Yankees and against the red hot at the time Brewers.
Yep.
And now, listen, you're a team in Kansas City that hasn't played well. There's some thoughts they might look to trade some people, not having the season they hoped, going to Kansas City, get a couple of games, feel better about it heading into the All-Star break. You have your better pitchers on the mound, or at least you have some guys coming back from injury. You feel a little bit better about things. It was an ugly day. But I still feel like they stem the tide a little bit. I don't feel as good. Like, we talked about how good you could feel about this team. That obviously tempers that. But I still feel like they did enough to tread water with those two series and winning the first game of this one in the fashion they did. That you just, you know, you head into Kansas City, and hopefully you feel that these guys come back and you get back on the right foot. But it was an ugly day, no doubt.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.